I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. And I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off. When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Scammers play on our emotions. They make us feel like we are in a very desperate situation fast, and only they have the solution.
Hey, welcome back to Everyone's Talking Money. It's so good to have you here. I am your host, Shauna, and I like to talk about money a little differently. On this show, we explore all the complex feelings behind money to help you stress less and start thriving financially. And this episode, my friend, this is one you are going to want to bookmark and come back to often. If you thought financial scams only happen to older people, I need you to listen to this episode. Financial scams like identity theft and fraud, they're happening to everyone, young and old, and scamming people like you and I out of a lot of money. In fact, did you know that investing scams were the number one type of scams last year? And cryptocurrency was at the core of many of these investing scams. As our guest in this episode, Sean Piles, host of NerdWallet's Smart Money podcast, said in the intro, scammers play on our emotions and they make us feel like we are in a very desperate situation. Okay, you're probably thinking, great, Shauna, okay, but how do I set myself up to avoid as many of these scams as possible? Well, Sean is going to share some seriously eye-opening advice in this episode, including why you and your loved ones need what he calls a safe word. Right after this episode, my husband, Jeff, and I, we picked ours. Of course, I can't share it with you, but this advice could save you thousands of dollars. We also dive into the reason why most financial scams aren't reported. I'll give you a hint. It has a lot to do with the role that shame plays in our relationship with money. I know it's never fun to talk about financial scams, but honestly, this is a juicy episode you need to share with everyone you know. And when you're done listening, go and head over to the Smart Money Podcast and check out their four-part series on financial scams. I'll link that right in the show notes. All right, let's start talking. We are talking about a heavy subject today. We're talking about financial scams. And these days, I don't think it matters who you are, whether you're a celebrity. Like recently, Andy Cohen for Bravo was a victim of some sort of financial scam and scammed out of a lot of money, which I think really surprises people. But these scams, they're just everywhere and they're kind of coming fast and furious. And I know you've done a deep dive over at NerdWallet on kind of everything we need to know about scams and identity theft and identity fraud. And we're going to talk about it all. Can you believe the level of sophistication that some of these scams are getting to?
For better or worse, I can believe it at this point. After doing a 4-episode deep dive on NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast into all things about scams and ID theft and ID fraud, I've come to realize that people who do this, who perpetrate this against innocent people, it's their full-time job. And so they are spending a tremendous amount of time and energy doing everything they can to separate us from our money and use our personal information in pretty malicious ways. And the scope of this issue is just tremendous. I mean, I feel like to your point around Andy Cohen, we've been hearing more and more about scams, and that's because there have been more scams than ever recently. In 2023, there were over 3,000 data breaches that we know of. That's a 72% increase from the previous record in 2021. And additionally, consumers reported losing over $10 billion to scams in 2023. That's the first time that we've passed the $10 billion threshold and is more than $1 billion more than the previous record. So these scams are everywhere. And unfortunately, we're going to continue to see them as technology progresses and all of our information is available online for scammers to use.
Yeah, I mean, $10 billion, like... That's more than like the GDP of some countries. That is an insane amount of money. Have you ever been a victim of a financial scam?
I have not, fortunately. I remember during 2021 when the student debt relief was announced. Unfortunately, the student debt relief that didn't really go through for a lot of us. I got a lot of calls from people that were alleging that they would help me get my student debt relieved and forgiven if only I would pay them a certain fee. Folks should know you don't have to pay money to get this debt relief. That didn't actually happen. But a lot of people will be getting calls when they are connected to something that's going on in the news that could maybe help them financially. So I experience that a lot. I get a lot of scam text messages from random people, those wrong number text messages that I think we all get nowadays. Yes. But I, at this point, am really wary of anything inbound. And I try to bring a level of caution and hesitation to any sort of interaction with people, because one of the biggest risks that we all face with interacting with people online is that it's hard to authenticate who anyone is. You really don't know who you're speaking with unless you and I are video to video on this recording right now. We can see each other. I know I'm talking to you, Shauna. But for a lot of people, it's hard to verify that someone who's sending you a Facebook friend request or a follow on Instagram is really who they are.
Yeah, I think that's the troubling bit. You know, my hard, fast rule is if I get an email or I get a text or a phone call and I don't recognize the number or the name, I just don't answer it or I don't reply. But I think about it's so hard. You know, I'm a money expert, so I kind of have that viewpoint. I'm very skeptical. But, you know, I think about like my parents and a lot of other people that get these, you know, these emails and these texts, and it's sometimes frightening, the information that they're sharing with you, and it's hard to decipher whether it's real or it's not real. And I really feel for people because I think it's hard to make sense of it all. Are there, like, do you know of any, I don't know, software or programs or just anything that we can use that can help kind of stopgate some of this?
Unfortunately, right now, there isn't a lot of software that can help us filter through scam friend requests or phone calls that are inbound to us. Part of it is communications and media literacy that we all need to have and to share with our loved ones. To your point around parents, maybe your parents are unaware that these random Facebook friend requests you're getting aren't from real people. But at the same time, we shouldn't be ageist here, because it turns out that Gen Z, people in their 20s, actually lose money at higher frequencies than older people do.
Really?
Okay. Yes. According to the FTC, people in their 20s lost money in 43% of reports that they sent to the FTC. And compared to people in their 70s, that was only 23% of reports. However, people who were older reported higher median losses. And that makes sense, because they probably have higher net worth. So they're being scammed less frequently, but out of more money. And so it's really a double-edged sword, but I think it speaks to how everyone is vulnerable to scams. There isn't a single demographic profile. And one through line from a lot of people who get scammed is that they may tend to be more isolated. So if you have a relative who isn't in regular communication with you, it's worth reaching out and just having more regular communication with them if you want to strengthen that relationship, but also just tell them about scams that are out there that you know about, because that's one way that we can fight back against scammers, is by us all being more aware of what the latest scams are.
I don't know if you've heard this. It was a news story out a couple months ago. Now, she was actually on our show previously, the money journalist, Charlotte Coles, and she was scammed out of, I think it was around $50,000. And then she wrote a whole article.
A piece in the cut.
Yeah, exactly. And she was on the news talking about this. And I think that's the thing that gets people the most is, hey, if these experts who do this all day long and talk about these subjects are victims of fraud, what's going to happen to all of the rest of us out there? We're just, kind of flapping in the wind, like waiting for this to happen. Do you know what are the most like common types of financial fraud? Like, I know there's, romantic fraud, and there's all different kind of categories of fraud. Do you have any stats on like how that breaks up?
Yeah. So last year, the number one type of scam was an investing scam. And this is where a scammer will reach out and say, hey, I can guarantee that you will make money with this investment scheme. And these often involve cryptocurrency. And there should be two red flags right there, is that there's a guarantee of making money on an investment. We all know that there's always a risk of losing money when you invest. And cryptocurrency isn't really well regulated. It's where a lot of shady actors operate. And people will sometimes end up getting connected to these scammers, and they essentially just deposit their money into the scammer's bank accounts directly, or into their cryptocurrency account, because it seems like it's something that's fast and easy, and the people are a little vague on the details, but it's something where people just want to get that money quickly. And that's something that I would caution anyone. And this also relates back to the story from The Cut. That journalist had a pretty big support network from what she described, but she responded really quickly to the inbound message that she got. And she was swept up in the narrative. And we all like to think this could never happen to us, but scammers play on our emotions. They make us feel like we are in a very desperate situation fast, and only they have the solution. If you even take 5 minutes to contact someone else, the opportunity is going to be gone to make that money, or your loved one will be harmed in some way. They rely on that pressure to get you to not think rationally. And so if you are ever contacted by someone who is saying, okay, your loved one is being held hostage, and if you don't send me $5 million right now, which, I mean, if you have $5 million, like, that, I would be really wary about sending that to anyone.
Yeah.
Yes. But just try to take a second to breathe and think through this story in your head, to kind of retell yourself what happened over the past 5 minutes. And if any alarm bells go off, just pause and say, I need to think about this a little more, because it's extremely unlikely that your loved one is in that situation. But it's hard nowadays with things like AI voice scams, where it really does sound like your loved one on the other line. How can you tell if it's them or not? So it's just, we're all in a tough situation at the moment.
Yeah, I want to get back to the AI thing in just a minute. But before we do, I want to talk just a little bit about, I mean, you and I both talk about money for a living. And we know that there is this underlying just fear around money that exists. And most of us don't talk about it, but these emotions around money are what really come up when we get these texts, emails. Tell me a little bit about how do we balance these emotions? We talked about just, you know, taking a moment to breathe, but, you know, what is it about money that just catches us and makes us so easy to fall prey to these?
Money is something that enables the most basic things in our lives and the most lofty ambitions that we have in our lives. And so knowing that we could have sudden access to a tremendous amount of money through an investing scheme, we see our dreams coming true in our mind. But also knowing that, or thinking that, a loved one is in peril, we would do anything to save them. And if money is the tool that gets your loved one back into your arms, you're willing to use it in that way. So we will use it as a vehicle to get anything that we want in life. And scammers know that. And so they will manipulate us and our emotions just to extract as much as they can from us.
It's just not fair.
It's so frustrating. And that's one thing that was hard with doing this series is I talked with people who experience scams. I talked with experts who fight this stuff every day. And the emotional stakes are so high. And it's not just before or during the scam. It's after the scam too. Because those stats that I listed earlier, they are actually underrepresentations of what's happening in the world of scams. We know that scams are really severely underreported. And that's because people carry tremendous shame around falling victim to a scam, because there's language like falling victim to a scam, not being harmed by a criminal, right? So we lack the right vocabulary to frame this in a way that isn't in a kind of victim blamey way. And I think that's something we should all be working on as people talking about this stuff. But I think when someone does experience this, they should try to not feel ashamed, because someone victimized them. They were made to feel things and believe things that weren't true so people can get their money. And so if you did experience this, I would recommend talking with people, getting help. You can make a report to the Federal Trade Commission at identitytheft.gov and get a recovery plan. I recommend doing that. I also recommend talking with your loved ones about it so you don't feel so alone. Maybe even consulting with a therapist, a financial therapist might help with this as well. So you can process your emotions and realize, hey, as much as the blame might be on you, you might feel that, it's really not your fault. Someone did this to you.
And I would hope that having some of these celebrities and people like Charlotte, who wrote this article in The Cut, kind of coming forward and being so open, talking about financial scams, that hopefully it would help everybody who does become a victim of this feel like, okay, I'm in a celebrated crowd of people. And it isn't something necessarily that I did that was a mistake or a wrongdoing. This is just something that happens. It's unfortunately this part of living. And I like this shift from the shame that we automatically feel about money into something that is like, no, hey, I was a victim of this, but I might still be struggling with internally or mentally with the aspects of how it happened, and you know, to find some sort of release or somebody to talk to about it, I think is really important.
Yeah. In one episode, I actually speak with my father, who experienced a romance/investing scam. People also have the horrible name for this as a pig butchering scam, which I'm happy to talk about.
So both at the same, like it was both scams wrapped into one?
Yeah, yeah. So I'll walk you through how it happened. Yeah. So he got a friend request on Facebook in the spring, summer of 2020, when we were all really isolated. He was living alone in Los Angeles. I was up in Portland. We weren't really seeing each other that much. And so he got a friend request from someone. They started texting and they sort of hit it off. He thinks it's this woman that he's building a relationship with. One day, she sends him a photo of her car and says, oh, shoot, I got into a car accident. And in the photo, it's an Escalade that has been in a car accident. And so my dad goes, oh, nice car. And then they say, well, I got this car through this investing scheme through cryptocurrency. I can tell you more about it if you're interested. And then next thing he knows, he's set up with this idea, this way to make money. And he's funneling money basically directly into their accounts. And he tries to get the money out at one point, and that's when they say, oh, you can't get your money out. You're actually liable for all these taxes, this, that, and the other. And he begins to realize this isn't what he thought it was, but he was out tens of thousands of dollars by that point.
Wow. Okay. Did he have any recourse, or is it just you're out of the money?
So for most people, there isn't a lot of recourse. A lot of people do not file police complaints. And if they do, the perpetrator is almost never caught, unfortunately. He was able to get some of the money back because this was actually money from his business. So through fancy tax mechanisms, he could do that, which is good. It's a big relief because he did lose a considerable amount of money. But to my point about people not talking about this, I didn't hear about this until this past fall, over 3 years later.
Right.
Because he did feel ashamed about it. But now he's at a point where he has been through this. He actually experienced multiple similar scams like this in that same period of time. And he wants people to know, hey, this could happen to anyone. My dad considers himself like a really no BS savvy kind of guy. And he is. And that just shows that anyone can get swept up in a narrative that someone is spinning for you.
Yeah, my dad has this habit, Sean, of he always answers his cell phone. And if somebody calls him and he can't get to the phone, he will recall the number. And I'm always like, Dad, no, like you can't do that. They're either going to leave you a message or they're going to call back. Mm-hmm. And my dad is just like your dad, very savvy guy, but I cannot tell you the amount of times his email's gotten hacked or so many different things. And it's interesting because even though you know about all of this and you know about financial scams, it's still, you know, to some people, and I know I have other friends who are this way too. It's like somebody calls me, obviously they need something with, you know, I should call them back or I should answer the phone. And so it's almost like retraining yourself to interact differently with the human world, just because you have to kind of put up this wall to just attempt to protect yourself.
And that goes to the authentication issue. How do we authenticate that we're speaking with who we think we're speaking with? It's almost impossible to do, especially when it's a phone call. You can get a call that looks like it's coming from me or from your dad, and it's just spoofed. And so you don't know. So at this point, I do not answer the phone unless I am expecting a phone call, or if I get a voicemail and it's actually a friend of mine, and they'll usually just text me anyway. But it's a bit of a tragedy of the modern era that we can't really trust any inbound communication unless we have a way to try to authenticate that they are who they say they are. But things like communication on Instagram or a dating app, Facebook, email, you cannot trust it from the outset.
The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/etm for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/etm to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/etm. In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Talkin' Money under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated, all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial. All right, Sean, it's time to play Your Relationship with Money is Game. So question number one, if you had to describe your relationship to money as a cartoon character, who would it be?
I'm going to go with Ash Ketchum from Pokemon. Because he started his journey almost 30 years ago. He had been fighting for the same achievement, becoming the greatest Pokemaster in the world, for all of those years. And there were lots of ups and downs. It seemed like he was maybe never going to make it. He learned a lot of valuable lessons along the way. And I guess they recently just retired him as a character, but I'm sure that his journey is still thriving somewhere in the fanfic universe. And I like to think that that's how my financial journey is too. It's an evolving process. You get a lot of help from different people, interesting characters of all shapes and sizes as you go throughout life. And that's kind of what I relate to right now.
That's a deep answer. I like that one.
Thank you.
All right. Question number two, take us inside your inner world of money thoughts. Is there a central theme or thought that just kind of plays on repeat for you around money?
Well, this might be because scams are so top of mind for me right now, but I am always trying to make sure that people in my life, and myself included, are not being taken advantage of by companies. And I would even lump in companies like the credit bureaus like this. Like, there are so many companies that have so much of our information that we really didn't want them to get in the first place, or companies that are trying to charge us exorbitant fees. And the more we can counter that, the better, because money's tight. These companies make a lot of it off of us, and that makes me mad. So I try to counter it.
All right. What is one guilty money splurge that you are never giving up?
Oh, man. It's the vintage section on eBay. I know it's so weird and specific, but there are some really great finds in there. And I may be ruining this for myself by talking about it, but I don't think a lot of people are on it so much. So I won't be gatekeeping it, but if you know specifically what you want, like for me, I like a vintage half placket shirt, which you just has the buttons going down to here. Yes. And I can find some fabulous ones there, and it'll be a lot less than I would get at a local vintage shop. So that's my guilty pleasure. It's a fun way to kill time too.
Last question. What is one money mistake that you've made that you wish you could get a do-over for?
Well, when I was a contractor in my early 20s, this is before you had to make estimated quarterly payments as a 1099. I didn't make those, obviously, because you didn't have to, but I didn't realize I was going to have to owe a bunch of money when taxes came around. And so I had to pay off my tax bill for well over a year because I just didn't have the foresight. And that was unfortunate. So I would go back and save that money and pay my taxes properly the first time.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of The Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to The Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Hi, I'm Karina Bemisterfer, host of Morning Cup of Murder, your daily true crime podcast. Yes, you heard me right, daily true crime. Every day, Morning Cup of Murder tells you a straightforward, short-form story about murder, true crime, cold cases, disappearances, serial killers, cults, and more. And I do that all in under 15 minutes. With over 3 years of stories and over 20 million downloads, the Morning Cup of Murder podcast has become a staple of so many people's daily routines. So, why not add it to yours? Stream Morning Cup of Murder everywhere you listen to podcasts, and remember, stay safe.
From Foreign Policy, I'm Rena Ninen, the host of The Hidden Economics of Remarkable Women. Over the past few years, we've looked at how women around the world are changing societal norms to increase their economic power. This season, we're focusing completely on girls, how they're pushing for a brighter, more powerful future, and what the rest of us can do to set them up for success. Join us for stories about girl power, young women who are fighting for change, to give themselves a chance to live a life of their own choosing. That's season 6 of The Hidden Economics of Remarkable Women, wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to go back to the AI a bit, because obviously AI is helping us in a lot of ways. Those of us who use ChatGPT or any of the various AI tools, they are quite helpful. But I'm curious what you think the future of, or the level of sophistication that AI is going to get to with these financial scams. And will there be a way for us to identify these, or is it just going to get more and more complicated?
All of the above, I think. The thing is that we're in really early days with how AI is being deployed. And there are a couple of different popular scams that I've experienced or seen so far. One is using AI to essentially automate hacking and look through software like a computer software or a phone software for what are called zero-day vulnerabilities. And this is something that's just a weakness in the software that's inherent in the coding. And so AI can be deployed to sift through this and find something that's wrong in your phone software that can get into your phone potentially. So that's why when your phone pushes out an update to you automatically, you really ought to update it right then and there because they may have found a zero-day vulnerability. So it's worthwhile to patch that up, spend the 5 minutes doing that. So that's one area where AI is being deployed. And I think we'll see similar scams in the future where AI is essentially a tool of automation to sift through things and find weaknesses for us. And that might mean trying to find someone's password, just putting in a bunch of information and doing that, which is already being used to some extent nowadays. But what's really scary is the AI voice scams, the sort of deep fake that we're seeing from AI. And so I speak with another woman in an episode who experienced one of these calls. She got a call from an unknown number, and she answered it because her daughter was on a ski trip. And it's her daughter on the end of the other end of the line. And she's screaming, saying, "Mom, I messed up." Like, she's screaming and crying, saying that she just messed up. She messed up. And her mom is like, "Okay, like maybe something went wrong with the ski event. Like, you know, this has happened before." And then some guy gets on the phone and says, "We have your daughter. If you don't give me $1 million, then we are going to drug your daughter. And they said that they're going to have their way with her and then dump her in Mexico. And she hears her daughter, and it's her daughter's voice perfectly. A parent knows their daughter's voice, right? And so she was able to deduce that it wasn't her daughter. Fortunately, someone who was there with her at the scene was able to make a phone call and get her actual daughter on the phone line, but it sounded like the same person on both phones at that moment. So she was able to determine that it wasn't a legitimate phone call. But to this day, the woman doesn't know how the scammers got enough of her daughter's voice to make a clone of it for this purpose. Some software can make a perfect or nearly perfect replica of your voice with as little as 3 seconds of your audio, which is terrifying. I mean, you and I are on a podcast talking all the time. There's way more than 3 seconds of us out there. And this woman's daughter isn't really on social media. She's not publicly known. She's a teenage girl. So that speaks to how vulnerable we all are of something like this happening. And while that's terrifying, of course, there are solutions. So one thing that I have begun to deploy with my family and my loved ones, my friends, is a safe word or phrase. So you just have something that you communicate to them. It's distinct to you, and make sure that's something you can remember, that they can remember. And if you get a call from a loved one saying, I just was in a car accident and I hit a woman and I'm going to be arrested, like, this is my lawyer on the phone with me, there's always some sort of dynamic of your loved one is in crisis and there's someone else there that's like a lawyer or someone like kidnapping them, honestly, who's the intermediary between you two. So that's a general structure for it. But you can say, okay, like, if this is really a crisis, please just let me know what the safe word is so I can authenticate that this is legitimate. And if they can't say that, if they might say, oh, I don't remember because I'm just so stressed out right now, pause.
That's your
pause. Point. If the event already happened, it already happened. You can begin to take the time to resolve it in the proper way. So just don't rush into anything. Do not send that $1 million because, I mean, I don't even have that $1 million, but just
right.
Take time to think.
I like that idea of safe word. I haven't thought about that before, but I just hearing those stories gives me chills thinking about it, and thinking about how I'm just already a normal, anxious person, just on an everyday level. I, you know, do all sorts of things just to try to not be so anxious. So I can imagine if I got a phone call like that, just the mental workout that you need to do to be able to stay in the moment and to be able to remember, like, hey, we set up a safe word. We set up sort of a safeguard. Let me walk through it and see if, you know, this is the case. That, I mean, it takes a lot.
It does. And that's one thing that's so difficult about this world of scams that we live in now, is that it can be exhausting to be vigilant as much as you have to be. But I think by regularly exposing yourself to what's going on in this world, being more aware of it, maybe having a trial run of what that phone call would be like with your loved one when they say, hey, what is that safe word? So you're familiar with it, you get that muscle memory going, you're less likely to be swept up in the anxiety of the moment, and it becomes something that you are aware of and can counter. And with AI scams in particular, I spoke with one expert who likened it to the early days of Photoshop. In the early days of Photoshop, you could see an image of a giraffe climbing a pyramid, and you're like, this is incredible. How did that happen? We're seeing the same thing with a lot of AI images now, a lot of people falling for them on Facebook. I think that we will find ways to authenticate and realize, oh, this voice isn't a real voice. And it's a matter of becoming more acquainted with the technology and being able to spot the differences and what might not add up quite right. But right now, it's all so new. A lot of people aren't aware of these things, which is, again, why we need to really talk about this with our friends and loved ones so they are aware and it becomes easier for them to manage.
Yeah, if you're listening to this episode and you are in college or going into grad school, I highly suggest getting a degree in some sort of AI, because your services are going to be very much needed and probably worth a lot of money to help us all sort this out. I was going to tell you, Sean, I was a professor at a university in Los Angeles for about 10 years. And one of my students, now this was a few years ago, we weren't quite at the level of sophistication that we're at now, but I had my students do an assignment where they pulled their credit report and I, you know, walk them through like how to learn how your credit report works and what your credit score is made of. And one of my students came in just tears running down his face one day. And he said, you know, professor, I pulled my credit report and there's something very strange on here. What is this? And long story short, somebody had used his credit score to actually buy a house in Las Vegas. Oh. And that was like a year prior, defaulted on the house. So his credit score, you know, was terrible. And, you know, he was like, what do I do? You know, he would have, I don't know when he would have noticed this, that this was the case. So, you know, I worked with him and it took a long, long time to get it all straightened out. But I think also, you know, we're talking about scams where there might be a phone call or there might be an email, but there's also a lot of stuff that happens behind the scenes that we don't even know is happening. And I think one of the reasons we have to be more just hyper vigilant about everything, like going back to even our credit score.
Oh, yeah, I know. Well, I'm really glad you mentioned that because most of the scams that people experience aren't these flashy and terrifying AI voice scams. It's someone using your information, which is out there because of all of these data breaches. I mean, thinking back to the Equifax hack in 2017, millions of Americans' personal information, their social security numbers, their driver license information was hacked. And it's just out there on the internet. So we should all assume that our information is accessible if someone wants to get it, which is why freezing your credit is one of the single best things that you can do to protect yourself. It is free to do. It's good to do. It's actually crucial to do at all three bureaus. One of my colleagues likened freezing at only one or maybe two, but not all three, is like locking the front door and the window, but leaving your back door open. You need to protect yourself all around the house. And that way, someone who's trying to use your social to get a mortgage or a credit card will be unable to do so. If you want to apply for that product, you're on your own legitimately as yourself, you can temporarily lift the freeze, have it refreeze automatically, and just keep yourself safe. That's one of the single best things that people can do. And it really doesn't take that long to set up.
Yeah, I like the freezing a lot because it just is, it's one of the best preventative steps that you can take. You know, if you are going to have some sort of fraud with your social security number to get that in place. And I love that the bureaus are really, that it's really easy for you to do that and to remove it and put it back on. I always tell people, like, when you remove your freeze, when you're going to buy something, just remember, like, make a note to go back in and refreeze.
Yeah.
Another thing I wanted to talk about was social media. And I have a guilty pleasure. I'm just going to admit it. I watch too much reality TV. And
great. Love it.
Too many reality shows where there's, you know, people met over Instagram or TikTok or whatever it might be. And obviously, sometimes there's some scam involved in the process or the person isn't, you know, doesn't look like the person or, you know, whatever it might be. Are those apps still a primary target for people and scams, like particularly when we're talking about romance scams, because we're all out here trying to just, you know, find the love of our life. And so whatever means necessary, we might connect with somebody.
Oh, absolutely. I also watch Catfish, so I can relate to really enjoying those shows. But you're right that people want connection. We have a crisis of loneliness in this country, and people just want to reach out and talk with someone. And scammers know this. And romance scams in particular that lead to the scam that my dad experienced, that the pig butchering scam that I alluded to earlier, I'll give you a quick explanation of that. That's really how these things work. And again, I hate the term, but it's the most apt one that people have currently. The idea is that you will get that friend request from someone on Facebook, or you'll get a follow on Instagram. You'll strike up a conversation with someone. And honestly, it might even be that wrong text message that you get where it's like, oh, hey, Angie, are you still on for drinks tonight? And you're like, oh, I'm not Angie. And then they want to talk with you more and more and build up that relationship with you. And that is what they call fattening up the pig and building that relationship with you. And then once you have that quote unquote relationship, they slaughter you and take your money. They fatten you up and they take what they can from you, which is horrible. It's gruesome. Again, I think it's kind of victim blaming language, but that's the essential process of what's going on. And one thing that's important to know as well, especially about messages that you might get on something like WhatsApp or Facebook, is that this is an international industry. There was a recent expose in the New York Times about forced labor camps in Myanmar, where people are being held and they are forced to message hundreds of people each day in the States and in China and elsewhere to try to strike up these relationships. And then once you have that relationship with them, they'll actually send your conversation up to their higher manager, and it just escalated so that someone can finally like try to seal the deal and get all of your financial information and money. So people need to know that these scammers are sophisticated. It's not just one person in a basement. They have very clever tactics that work, and that's why they keep being deployed. And the romance scams, it's playing on our deepest insecurities and strongest desires as people. And unfortunately, that's why they work.
Yeah, there was just, I don't know if you watched, there was just an episode on John Oliver all about,
yes.
About pig butchering. So if you're listening now and that sounds interesting, go over and check out that episode. It's very fascinating.
And disturbing, yes.
And disturbing, yes. As most of his episodes are quite that way. I leave always just, you know, shaking my head and going, oh my gosh. Well, you host NerdWallet's Smart Money podcast, and you cover so many different topics like we cover on this show. I'm wondering, are there any episodes coming up or anything interesting that you're really looking forward to talking about?
Well, this podcast series that we have coming out, it's publishing throughout all of April, and we will be doing a 4-episode deep dive into everything from how people get your information to what they do with it and how to protect yourself and what are the future of scams. So I'd recommend people check that out wherever they get their podcasts. And then just on a regular basis, we answer our listeners' money questions. And that's the most fun thing that we do. And sometimes we bring them on and talk with them. And additionally, we've been mixing up the format a little bit. We've been trying to try out new segments and bring in more games and engage with our listeners who are so passionate and so smart and so fun. So if you want a podcast where you feel like you're connecting with the host and you're talking with the community, then I recommend listening to Smart Money.
Okay, so financial scams. They're scary. They're daunting. We've talked about a lot of things that just send, you know, hairs on my back straight up and down. If we take away one thing from this episode, what do you want us to remember about just this, you know, kind of crazy time we're in right now where financial scams are a bit of the norm?
It really is. Everyone is vulnerable. If you've been listening to this thinking, not me, I'm too savvy, I know what's going on, I listen to this podcast, I'm aware of what's going on, you can be scammed. Everyone can. In one episode, I speak with a woman who had her line of credit tapped. She has no idea how they got into her account. And so you have to be really vigilant. Again, unfortunately, it is exhausting, but monitor your accounts, talk about this with people, try to reduce scammers' power. And that is through being aware of what they're doing and how we can fight against them together. That's the main thing. It's just know that we all face this, and it's not an isolated incident. It's an international issue that we're all facing.
That story that Sean shared about the mom and her daughter literally sent chills up my spine. So yes, please go get you a safe word right now and share it with your loved ones. I also want you to remember that if you're a victim of a financial scam, you should not feel ashamed. Financial scams are happening right, left, and center these days, and any one of us could be a victim. The best thing you can do is listen to advice in episodes like this one, and check out NerdWallet's Smart Money podcast with Sean, where they do a deep dive on all of these financial scams. The more information you have, the better prepared you'll be. You can listen to Smart Money on any podcast player, including the one you're listening to this episode on right now. You can also check out all things NerdWallet on their site at nerdwallet.com. So yes, go out there, share this episode with everyone you know so you can help those people you care about be prepared against these just really nasty financial scams. All right, my friend, you can head to the show notes for all the links to our episode guests as well as the sponsors who make this show possible. Please go give them some love. And I will see you back here in a few days for a brand new episode.